Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Tasker, touchdown, Buffalo!
And it's Steve Tasker who has been all over the field.
Kind of unique. He was kind of a dual role player for you.
Steve!
A balloon.
Steve! A blimp? We're not even in the stratosphere of normalcy here.
Chris Brown, Steve Tasker, hour number two of a Friday edition of One Bills Live. We'll get to your OBL fan mailbag questions in just a minute. Again, about, we'll hear 15 minutes from now. We'll hear from NFL Films' Greg Cosell, some X's and O's on Monday night's matchup. We do also want to remind you that we have some alternative fresh content for you to chew on each and every week. It is the microwave version of this show, One Bills Live. It's called One Bills Light. So while we do put every episode or every show of One Bills Live up on our streaming platforms for you to digest and in the podcast platforms as well, if you don't have 2+ hours available to you to listen to this show, you can get a streamlined version of fresh content from us at One Bills Light. And we'll have a new episode popping up for you later today on all of your podcast platforms. So look for One Bills Light out there. And it's not portions of this show. It's brand new content for you to choose from. You got to hear me put Steve through the rigors of the numbers game where I test his mental limits to see how much of Bill's history he can remember. And we also do things like One Burning Question. A lot of fun that we have in those. And you can listen start to finish. You're in and out in about 30 or 40 minutes. So,
and we always have during the week, we always have a bunch of really good guests on. We
right.
pick the best one and throw it on the podcast, and it's good to go back and touch base with it. It's always been, particularly during this season, it's been really good quality guests. And a lot of times they're from the upcoming opponents, so it's nice to touch base.
Like last week, we had Chargers GM Tom Telesco. We put him on the podcast for One Bills Light, and then this week it's going to be San Francisco analyst and former cornerback Eric Davis, who was fantastic this week. So we've got him on the One Bills Light podcast as well. So make sure you look for that later this afternoon. I think it'll be out about 3:30, 4 o'clock. It should be up on all your podcast platforms, whether it's Spotify, Apple Podcasts, you name it, it's out there. But we'll have it out there. So just keep an eye out for One Bills Light. But Steve, we do have some OBL fan mailbag questions to cover. We began with Tiffany, and we didn't get much further than that because we got into this whole conversation about potential coaching losses with the success the team is having this year. The one other thing I will say about that before we get to the next question is I found it interesting this week because we bounced it off of a couple of our guests that we had. Judy Batista, we asked her about Daboll and Frazier specifically. She didn't seem too high on them as hot names, shall we say. Certainly not as hot as a name like Robert Saleh has been for San Francisco, their defensive coordinator. So it's going to be interesting to see if they gain any momentum as the season wears on, because I don't get the sense that they're hearing those names a lot in the circles in which they travel.
I'll say this about Brian Daboll. Two words, Josh Allen.
Yeah.
Josh Allen comes out of Wyoming 3 years ago and was a punchline for a lot of people around. A lot of top analysts thought he was going to be an absolute flame out. Was never going to be the kind of quarterback that you could win with, was never going to be able to do the things that a franchise quarterback would do. Certainly he had a top end physically, but they thought that the problems were too myriad, and They'd never seen anybody do that before. So Brian Daboll has the guy, and now, through the first month of this season, he was in the MVP race. Now he's doing things statistically. They're 8-3, and they're a Hail Mary away from 9-2. And statistically, Josh Allen is doing things that those same analysts said he will never – this last offseason, after he'd made some progress, they said he will never reach this number or these numbers, but he could be maybe pretty good. Well, he is reaching those numbers they thought he couldn't reach, and he's been doing it consistently for an entire year. A lot of the credit is going to be laid at the feet of Brian Daboll.
Yeah, and Josh has put the work in also, to his credit, with his – you know, with his mechanics and all the work that he puts in the offseason with Jordan Palmer, you know, I'll put myself in that boat. I did not think he was going to be, you know, a high completion percentage quarterback, you know, upper echelon of the league, you know, 68, 70%. I thought he'd be somewhere in the mid-60s.
Right.
But with all he does with his legs, you could still win football games and go a long way with a quarterback that's like that.
Right.
He proved that completely wrong this year, and I'll be the first to say that I didn't think he'd get to 68, 70% completion. Certainly not this year. Maybe in a couple of years, but not this year. I didn't know if he was ever going to be that kind of quarterback. So, yeah,
he's,
I mean, you tip your hat and you say, go get him,
in the
man.
League. Josh Allen's number three in the league in passing. He's 267 for 388.
Yeah.
In this show, who lives and dies with the Buffalo Bills, we never put that as a possibility this season for Josh.
I thought he'd take another step. I just didn't think it was going to be a giant leap, which is what it's been this year.
So the simple fact of the matter is that in and of itself is going to get Brian Daboll on the short list of every single
It'll
team.
Certainly
who's
be on the radar.
Any team who has a young quarterback or is going to draft a young quarterback, Brian Daboll is the absolute first name.
Okay. There it is. You heard it here first from Steve Tasker.
It's true, right?
Yeah, I mean, I'd have to think about other coordinators that have done a nice job this year, and it would take me a minute or two.
Certainly
to
there
of
are, and Robert Saleh
through all of them.
Robert Saleh.
I'm thinking offensive coordinators
right,
to try
Robert
to put
Saleh
in the same
a lot of a lot of praise for what he's done defensively and all that, and it'll come down to what these teams are looking for. And we've been on this list before. It's going to be Atlanta, Houston, and Detroit at least, if it's not, and of course the Jets. Are going to be on that road. Jacksonville has been mentioned as a team that might move on. Denver, Chicago, the L.A. Chargers may move on. All these teams, particularly think about the L.A. Chargers.
Arthur Smith, that's the other.
That's right.
Offensive coordinator for Tennessee.
That's right.
I mean, what he's done with to resurrect Ryan Tannehill's career. Whew.
That's right.
That takes some doing.
And he's done it the old-fashioned way.
Yeah.
With a running game and a singular talent.
That would be the only other guy that I would probably put in that category definitively. I'd have to keep taking a look around the rest of the league to see if there was anybody else. Those are the two for me. Brian Daboll, Arthur Smith.
If they're
and we know Eric Bieniemy is a name that's going to come up again.
Certainly
even
is.
Though, you know, even though Andy Reid calls the plays over there.
And I think that's the thing working against Eric Bieniemy. Even Andy Reid gets a lot of that credit, not Eric Bieniemy.
Yeah, I get it.
And I know there's a lot of people who love Eric Bieniemy, and I don't know him, never spoken
to him. Yeah, I don't either.
And I can take their word for it that he's a quality coach. But in Kansas City, Andy Reid gets the credit, for the ideas, for the concepts, for all that stuff coming up. Now, maybe Andy Reid will tell you in behind closed doors that it's really Eric Bieniemy. I'm not privy to that information, but on the surface and, from 1,000 miles away, like some owners are from those other teams, why don't I try and hire Andy Reid, not Eric Bieniemy?
Yeah. All right, let's go back to the OBL fan mailbag from Chris. How many more games do you think it will take for Stephon Diggs to get 100 catches? He currently has 80. Do you think it's possible that Josh Allen can throw for 4,500 yards with 30-plus touchdowns to end the regular season? If he does, do you think that's enough to make him the league MVP? All right, I'll take the first one. You take the second one. So with Diggs, 80 catches right now. I think he's on 8 games in a row with at least 4 receptions. Okay, so you do that math and you say, in all likelihood, it's probably going to take him 3 to 4 more games to get to 100. Now, 100 is the record. Eric Moultz holds the single-season receptions record for this franchise with 100 catches. I want to say it was in 2000 or 2002. I can't remember. So I think it takes him about 3 or 4 games. But I think he gets it, provided he stays healthy, you know, and doesn't have an issue. Because there are games where he'll have only 4 catches, but then there's others where he's got 7 or 8. And he's clearly the number one target. I mean, he's second in the league in total targets. So, I mean, Allen's looking for him every single week. And with John Brown out of the lineup, he's probably even getting a greater share. I think it is possible for him to get 100 receptions. I think he'll go over, provided he stays healthy and in the lineup. What do you say about Josh Allen, 4,500 yards, 30-plus touchdowns to end the regular season?
5 games left.
Now, if we're talking – now, they say 30-plus touchdowns. He's got 29 total touchdowns already between the one that he caught in Arizona and the 6 rushing touchdowns that he has.
He's thrown for 22, so he'd have 8 touchdowns in the next 5 games. That's doable. I think he could probably do that. I don't know that he can throw for 4,500 yards.
He's only at 3,000 right now.
He'd need to go 5 games, 300 yards on average to get just that 4,500 yards. I don't know if he's getting there. I think he's going to get 4,000, maybe 4,200 yards. 4,500 yards is a stretch.
Yeah.
30 touchdowns.
Last week hurt him. He only threw for, 150 or something?
Right. 30 touchdowns? Yeah, maybe. Maybe.
30 passing touchdowns.
He's got 22 now. If he has 8 touchdowns in the next 5
games. He could do that.
Yes.
He could do that.
He could do that. And that
is that enough to get him league MVP, though?
If he throws 0 interceptions and goes to 4,500.
What else do we want to put on
if
him?
If he goes 4,500 yards, 30
now look,
touchdowns,
Josh,
no, he doesn't.
Josh, this is what we're looking for. We need you to get to 30 passing touchdowns. I know it might be a lot to ask, but if you could throw for 300 in each of the last 5 games so we can get you over 4,500. And, oh, by the way, if you don't throw any picks, that would be great.
He does not have
to. How much more do we want to put on the guy?
I'll tell you what, he doesn't have to do all of that. But if they run the table, he's back in the back in the conversation.
And we talked to Peter King about that, and that's exactly what he said. He said if the team runs the table, goes 13-3, yes, now he's on the radar.
Because you think by the running the table, he's going to have the stats that will support
that.
Well,
you will
kind
have beaten San Francisco, last year's NFC champion. You will have
undefeated
beaten Pittsburgh, the undefeated team.
And then, Patriots again.
And you win the division going away with an undefeated record in the division at 6-0.
And like I keep saying, you're a Hail Mary away from sweeping the NFC West best division in football. That's a pretty good year.
If they beat the Niners on Monday night, Steve, 2 years in a row, the Bills will have gone 3-1 against NFC opponents. 2 years in a row.
Yeah.
So that's pretty good, especially when NFC West is one of those divisions. All right, break time for us. When we return, we will have one Greg Cosell from NFL Films and the ESPN NFL Matchup Show. So, don't go anywhere. Come right back here with us. Steve Tasker, Chris Brown, One Bills Live, presented by Kaleida Health. It's Buffalo Bills Radio.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Chris Brown, Steve Tasker, One Bills Live, Friday edition, and that can only mean one thing at this time in the show. It means senior producer from NFL Films, Greg Cosell, is joining us on the line, which he is. Oh, my gosh. Look, he is, in fact, there.
It's
Greg Cosell from NFL Films, right on time here on a Friday. And, Greg, we hope you're doing well, and we're looking at this Monday night game, and I don't know. I know Steve's going to ask you about where you think the Bills rank overall in this league, seeing all the teams that you do on tape. I go into this game with just a wee bit of trepidation because I think the Niners might be the best team in the league in terms of navigating their way through a slew of injuries. Have you looked at IR for the Niners? It's like an all-star team, Greg.
No, I'm very familiar with the Niners.
It's like an all-star team on IR for them.
Yeah. They
they're getting some guys back this week.
Right.
I believe is back. I mean, no, they're getting some guys back. But this game's a fascinating game, Chris. So, you know, hit me with what you want to hit me with, and we'll go into it.
There's
a lot of fascinating elements to this.
Yeah, I'm nervous about the defense of the Niners being able to at least slow down what the Bills' passing game has been thus far this season. I think Verrett's had a fantastic season. Finally, he's been able to stay healthy, and he's become kind of the player that probably the Chargers envisioned him being when they made him a first-round pick all those years ago. Sherman's back off the injured list, so he's back in the fray. I'm wondering how – I mean, they play a good deal of zone, right? So
that's where it's funny you say that. This year, Robert Saleh has really kind of expanded his coverage concepts. Robert Saleh does have the Seattle background, a Houston background. He came to the 49ers with Kyle Shanahan, and he was a cover three guy. This year, you're seeing a ton more of man coverage. You're seeing a ton more split safety. This is not, you know, the old days where you just said, oh, you play the Niners, they play cover three. They're doing a lot more defensively, and I think they will try to muddy the looks for Josh Allen quite a bit.
But man coverage is a recipe for disaster against this passing game. I mean, at least it has been for the teams that have played a good deal of that. You know, Miami in week two and the Seattle Seahawks in week 10.
Right.
I mean, it wasn't a good look for a lot of defense. They've been victimized. If you're going to play man, you better be ready to cover because these guys kill you in the passing game when you do that.
No, and that's true. The Bills have done very well. So we'll see what Robert Saleh decides to do. You know, we don't know the answer to that. Again, I think they'll play man. The question is, what's the percentages of the different coverages that they choose to play? They've got two really good linebackers, too, in their sub-nickel package. Fred Warner is arguably one of the top three or four linebackers in the league overall. He is a really good football player. And I think that they got rid of Quan Alexander because Dre Greenlaw, who was a later-round pick from Arkansas, has really shown very well. Starting as a rookie last year, he's shown very, very well, and he's a good football player too. So they're really good when they're in their sub-nickel. And as we know, when you play the Bills, you're likely to play nickel quite a bit.
Yeah, and one of the things we've seen this, we've heard from the people in San Francisco we've spoken to, the Niners defense has struggled. Maybe it's because they do play man with running quarterbacks who get out of the pocket. That's where they've really been gashed this season.
Well, and they play a lot of them. That's the thing. So this will not be a new experience for them. They're in the same division with Kyler Murray. They've played Russell Wilson for years. So, you know, this is not a new thing for the 49ers. So that's why I said it comes down to percentages, you know, how much they might play man. Maybe this is a game they don't play as much man. That's very, very possible. So we'll see. But I was just trying to make the point that they're not, you know, sort of the 49ers from a few years ago where everybody just assumed, oh, they play cover three and that's it.
How good are – you've seen – we talk to you every week. You see a lot of film on a lot of teams around the league, all the teams on the league. Where do the Bills rank? How high up on this hierarchy are they?
Well, I think their defense has gotten better, and I think that's an important point here. I think A.J. Klein has played exceptionally well filling in for Milano. And before we came on, I asked you if Milano would come back this week because when you play the Niners – and again, it's whatever you choose to do. I don't know what Leslie and Sean will choose to do, but the Niners line up in base personnel an awful lot. You know, they play Juszczyk over 40% of the snaps. He's their fullback, Kyle Juszczyk. They play a lot with two tight ends. So, you know, most teams obviously play in their base personnel. We'll see what Leslie and Sean decide to do. If Milano is not back, I guess it's Smith, right? He's the third, the next guy up is the linebacker.
Well, AJ Klein played 100% of the snaps last week.
But he'd be the guy who plays with Edmonds anyway.
Right. So you're talking about the extra linebacker.
Oh, the third linebacker. Yeah. Sorry.
It probably would be Smith.
Who, by the way, He's the kid, if I'm not mistaken, and I hate when I can't remember exactly, but I think he's either the North Carolina or North Carolina State kid, right?
Yes, North Carolina.
Yeah, I thought he was a good college player. If I remember, he got hurt his last season. He got hurt one of the seasons, but I remember watching his tape, and I thought he, you know, obviously he's not an explosive athlete. He's not a guy that, you know, is you know, going to be out there and nickel all the time and run around. But I thought he was a pretty solid box player. And against the Niners, you might need a solid box player because they're going to run the ball out of base personnel.
Right. And that's the only thing that concerns me. Like, you play a team that plays, you know, I mean, they play 21 personnel. I think it's the second most plays in the league. I think New England's the only team that's played more 21. Yeah,
35% of their snaps, Chris, they play 21 personnel.
Yeah, I mean, I think only New England's run 21 more than they have this year. And that is not something they've seen a ton of. I mean, they played New England, but not something they see a ton of. How much of an adjustment do you find it is for teams that don't see a lot of that stuff, especially against an opponent they don't see all that often? What's the challenge there?
Well, to me, and again, I'm not a coach, so maybe a coach would explain it totally differently. To me, it simply becomes how you block, you know, how an offense blocks where there's someone lined up in a different spot. Because the Niners, they run the same runs that everybody does. It's, you know, obviously they've got some wrinkles, which we can get into in a sec. But, I mean, their base runs are zone. Everybody runs zone. It's just with Juszczyk. So maybe you're running zone with a fullback, a zone lead, as opposed to everybody on the line of scrimmage. So it's just how you block it, how you get to the base run. But we know they do an awful lot with Deebo Samuel, and you have to be very, very conscious of that. Because they use him on jet action. They'll use him on orbit reverses. He's really a critical piece to this offense. And by the way, Brandon Ayuk can do all those same things as well, and he's back this week.
Yeah, the interesting thing there, though, Greg, is I don't think there have been too many games where Coach Shanahan had both Ayuk and Samuel on the field at the same time.
Correct.
Seemingly all season long, one guy's been injured or the other guy. I don't know if you can predict this, but I'm curious how his play calling may or may not change, knowing he has both of those players at his disposal that he can deploy on the field at the same time.
I mean, I think, again, it's hard to be predictive about it, but I think at the end of the day, it just means you'll see different ways they get to the things we just spoke about. Because one thing about the Niners is when they do jet action, when they use Samuel as a runner, and now Ayuk, who can do the same thing, those are not gimmick plays for them. Though that's really kind of part of what they do. So you have to prepare for that. You know, it's they're really good at it. And the thing about Samuel and Ayuk, who we're watching now, Ayuk, is they're both really good run after catch. And that's the other thing. When you play the Niners, you've got to tackle, because both these guys are really good run after catch.
And it does bring up the huge question that if the Niners are going to run with the fullback, they only carry on their active roster four linebackers, and it's Edmonds, Klein, Medakevich, and Andre Smith. That's the only guys listed on their active roster.
It's possible they get Tyrell Dodson back this week.
If they go Milano and Dodson, that gives them enough bodies to muscle up against a fullback and go heavy. But that's not the defense they have run at just about any point this season, except in special packages. So if they're forced to go 60% of the plays, or half the plays even, in base personnel with three linebackers on the field, their Niners are going to force them to win doing something they don't do very much.
Well, I just looked at stats, and that's why I looked down. People might have seen me look down. It wasn't as if I wasn't listening, but I have stats in front of me. They played the Bills in their nickel, their sub nickel, on almost 90% of their snaps this year.
Right.
So as that plays to the point you just made, Steve, I think they've only played in quote unquote base, which would be 4-3, on something like 5% of their snaps. So in practice this week, I guarantee they've played in base, unless they don't feel that they have to play. You know, again, that becomes a coaching philosophy and a coaching decision. Maybe they feel that they want to play big nickel, and they, you know, is Marlowe, is he on IR?
No, Marlowe's available. So you have Marlowe and Saran Neal, who are two players.
So you could play, you could play big nickel, and you could, instead of a third linebacker, you could put Marlowe or Neal, you know, as basically your third linebacker, obviously earlier in the year they were playing a ton of big nickel, and then that gets obviously categorized as nickel and not base,
right.
Even though essentially they were using Marlowe as a third linebacker.
Yeah.
You could easily see that.
Right.
And then just give me your assessment of Nick Mullins, because there are some – we were talking to Eric Davis, the former 49ers corner who's now an analyst on the Niners, and – he was saying, basically, and being a former DB, I respect his opinion, he said, you look at Nick Mullins and you say, okay, basically their passing game is now in an 18-yard box. He says, in his opinion, Mullins cannot threaten a defense deep, and that allows defenses to play this Niners offense downhill. What are your thoughts on that?
I would agree with that. You know, I think Mullins is your classic backup. He might even be a number three. He doesn't check a lot of the boxes that you'd like to check. He's smaller. He doesn't move particularly well, and he's got a limited arm strength. And their pass game by nature is very rhythmic and timing-based, which is why he can have success, because Kyle is very, very good in terms of designing pass plays that can break down zone in particular. He's really good at identifying conflict defenders, players who have a run and pass responsibility. He identifies those players based on tape study and he attacks them. But Mullins, if you just look at the physical traits, he is not going to drive the ball down the field. So I think Eric Davis's point is 100% right. Now, having said that, there are certain throws that people might think are deep throws, which are not arm strain throws. You can still throw a fade ball. I mean, if you're going to bring, you know, let's say Levi Wallace up and press man, and you're going to run a fade, and Ayuk runs by him, a fade ball is not an arm strain throw.
Why has the Bills' defense improved so much?
Boy, that's a great question. I think, believe it or not, A.J. Klein has played really, really good football. You know how I feel about Milano, but Klein's played at a really, really high level. I think that they've been better up front. And again, I don't have a great reason for that other than the fact that maybe players are playing better. When you watch tape, the thing is, when you watch tape, which is always hard, you don't know how things are coached, and I don't know the small little tweaks that they might make. But I think they've gotten better play overall. They've become a little more aggressive, too. I mean, to me, again, without charting every play, guys, I think they've been a little more aggressive with blitz. I think they've been a little more aggressive with man coverage. That just the eyeball test, watching the tape, that's what I see.
And then just with respect to eye discipline for, the second-level defenders for the Bills this week, you mentioned all the jet motion that these guys run, you add the speed of Raheem Mostert to the corner. Like, you can't take a false step with Raheem Mostert, or he's up the sideline and headed to the end zone. So can you just maybe speak to the challenge that the Mostert speed and then the jet action presents with respect to the eye discipline that linebackers and second-level defenders have to have for the Bills this week?
That's a great, great point, Chris, because what they do a lot of is base run plays, they add these elements, jet motion, orbit mode, things that create problems for second-level defenders or set up block. Here, think of it this way. If you're a defensive end, okay, and all of a sudden there's jet motion and it's coming toward you, and you just might either pause or you might even take your initial step outside, and then all of a sudden you're in a tough position, you lose leverage on the blocker who's going to block you. They're really, really good at that. But your point about eye discipline is absolutely critical, because in this league you take one false step, particularly in a zone run game, and then you really have a hard time. And if Mostert's able to outflank your defense, he's got great, great speed.
Do you see any probability that if Matt Milano comes back healthy, which we don't know if he is or not, they're very reticent to say whether he's in the lineup or out of the lineup, it's a day-to-day injury.
Yeah.
If he comes back, do you see a scenario that where Milano and Klein are both on the field with Edmonds at linebacker?
Yes. I mean, again, it all depends on Matt's health, but if he's totally cleared and ready to go and let's rock and roll, I don't know how they feel, but I would think that a pure 4-3 versus 21 or 22 personnel gives them their better group than if they go big nickel. That would be my point of view based on tape study.
Is that
that
most
would all depend on Milano's health and how they ultimately right. feel that they want to match up.
Yeah, and that matchup, you're talking about the Niner run game with Juszczyk in the backfield,
without question,
the fullback.
And by the way, the Niners throw the ball very well out of base personnel too. My point, that's the point I was making earlier about Kyle being so good identifying conflict players. Because let's say you're in a strong eye or a weak eye, Steve, and you know all this, and all of a sudden it looks like it's an ISO lead or a zone lead. You know that there's a linebacker that he's thinking run when he sees that action, but he also has a pass responsibility. Yeah, a coverage responsibility. And that's where Kyle is so good at identifying those guys and then working off of them for in the pass game.
Right. Last thing that I have on this game specifically, Greg. So the 49ers defense has allowed a completion percentage of 44% on deep passes. That's the sixth highest in the league. Now, that can be for a whole number of reasons based on game situations and what have you. No John Brown, who's still on IR.
Right.
Gabriel Davis has kind of taken on that role. He had a nice play down the left sideline on a free play on an offsides last week and goes up and makes a spectacular catch. Do you foresee that there could be opportunities in that regard based on what you've seen from this Niners defense, you know, deep passing game specifically?
I mean, I would think you would take a shot or two. Look, Josh Allen's improved dramatically this year in so many areas. The deep ball, I still think, is something that needs work. Obviously, he gave Gabriel Davis an opportunity. It was a free play, but he gave him an opportunity to go up and get it. And Davis is 6'2", so he's a big wide receiver. I think you have to take your shots. You know, I've always been a believer in that. You know, I learned that from Ron Jaworski, you know, the old Sid Gilman approach, that you've got to take your shots. How much, that I can't answer. But without question, now, you know, what the 49ers are doing now that Sherman is back, he plays left corner. Jason Verrett, who you mentioned, Chris, he's had a phenomenal year. Yeah. I think he's played really well. He's the right corner. And Mosley now is the slot corner because Taylor got hurt last week. So I don't know what his status is, but Mosley came in and played for him.
Yeah, Taylor went on IR right. this week, actually. Yeah. They put him on
IR. All
right,
there you go.
Yeah.
So I didn't see that. But so Mosley will be the slot corner because I believe Kawan Williams is not available either.
Yeah.
Greg, thanks. It's great talking to you.
Appreciate it, guys. I always enjoy it. Thank you.
All right,
appreciate
we'll catch up with you on the ESPN NFL matchup show this weekend. We'll be looking for you. All right, that's Greg Cosell breaking it down for us. And, I mean, they're going to – even though they have Sherman back, they're still shuffling people back there because they lost Webster and they lost, as we mentioned, Jamar Taylor. Both of them went to IR this week.
It is a different kind of matchup for the Bills' defense as well because they do throw Juszczyk, who's a big fullback, out there. Like, you know, like he's a Chris DeMarco. Pat DeMarco that the Bills had last year. We didn't use DeMarco nearly as much as they use Juszczyk.
No.
Juszczyk is a fixture
yes.
back there, and he runs a lot of routes out of that spot as well.
He's got 12 receptions, but right. he is more than capable, even though he's a big, husky guy. He can make plays out of the backfield where he can help you move the sticks. And as I said, 21 personnel, that's their second most popular formation after 11, which everybody runs pretty much the most in the league.
Right.
But 21 is their next biggest personnel grouping. I mean, the only other team, like I said, that's run more two-back personnel out of 21 this year is the Patriots.
Right. One of the things you got to know, too, is I would think, although I don't know, that Kittle probably changed that scenario a little bit. When he went down, one tight end out there that you can imagine with him on the field, the best tight end in the league, along with Juszczyk and two backs and your ability to run the football, with him having a being able to jackhammer, that's a headache of an offense. I mean, that Nick Mullins could win with those guys out there.
Yeah.
But having Kittle off the field changes that a hair because it's an easier matchup for the defense to go one-on-one with a tight end, which you couldn't do before. And now you can do what you want with the rest of that. But you can imagine what a load this Niners is. You get a tight end in there, two backs, 5-0 linemen, and two wideouts. It's a run-first offense.
They don't mind pounding on you at the line of scrimmage.
Yeah.
And we've seen certain games where the Bills' defense has struggled at line of scrimmage. More so earlier in the season. I think they've tried to stem that tide a little bit as the season has worn on. But you get, like, the Raiders, for example, big, heavy, offensive line. Now, they didn't let Josh Jacobs run wild in that game. Still, right. You know, the Raiders put 23 points on the board, and they're in the game at the end.
Right.
Save for four, you know, three fourth quarter stops.
So you think about the big bodies down inside with a great blocking tight end and a big fullback, and you got Raheem Mostert who can outrun everybody.
I'm running behind Trent Williams at left tackle.
I mean, they're a load. These wide receivers with Ayuk and Debo Samuel back in the green, that's another – it opens up another
– And the last quick thing, because I know we got to get to break,
challenge.
But the problems with their offensive line, ironically, have been some of the same issues that people have had with Buffalo's offensive line. They run really well to the left behind Trent Williams and Laken Tomlinson. They've had some deficiencies on the right side of their line. Mike McGlinchey, I think, was their former first-round pick. He has not been playing up to the standard. He's having a rough go of it. I don't know if he's dealing with an injury or something, but most of the reporters out there think he has not lived up to the billing and has had some good games and some not-so-good games. And the right guard, Tom Compton, has also had his share of struggles. So that might be where that offensive line can be had. If not in the run game, at least to get to the passer. So be interesting right. to see what the defensive approach is. Break time for us. When we return, more of your questions from the OBL fan mailbag. And coming up in about 15 minutes, one Lorenzo Alexander with the lowdown. So stay tuned for that. We'll be back in a minute here on One Bills Live, presented by Kalida Health. It's Buffalo Bills Radio.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Chris Brown, Steve Tasker with you. Closing up hour number two. We'll have Lorenzo Alexander on the other side of the top of the hour for the lowdown. And we'll be talking to him about a number of topics, not just this game coming up on Monday night. As an NFLPA rep and with all the things that are going on with COVID and the way it's been moving the schedules around, we got players well, let's just say less than happy that they're not quite sure what day they're playing, who they're playing. We all know the Bills had to deal with that earlier in the season. Now the Steelers are grousing about the fact that they've got three games in 12 days, lost their mini bye that they were expecting to have after playing on Thanksgiving night. They figure they get a little bit of a respite after that, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, before getting back to work the following Monday. And now that all went to hell in a handbasket. So some of those players are like, oh, geez, man alive, I didn't get my break. And, you know, they also got their schedule moved earlier in the season. They were
they
impacted
lost their
by
bye.
The Titans.
They lost their bye completely in the first place. I get it. Players are disgruntled over what's happened to them and what's had to happen to them, and they get this mentality. Everybody does, and I've got no you know sympathy or love lost for the Pittsburgh Steelers guys, but I understand where they're coming from. You're trying to play this and having it, the schedule changed. Okay, that's one thing, but having it changed three times in 1 week so you can't get your mind around what day you're actually going to play on, that's a problem. And that's what I think really the basis of this comes from. Everybody understands it's a weird year. And, you know, it crosses into lunacy when you start going into, well, the league's got it in for the Pittsburgh Steelers, or the league's got it in for the Ravens, or the league's got it in for the Bills, or the you name it. Nothing like that's happening. Believe me. What is happening is they're changing the schedule, and then they're finding something out of the test results come back, and they got to delay it again.
They're powerless against the COVID virus,
and that's,
they have to react to that more than anything else.
The fact that the guys who are in power making the decisions have to be reactionary, just out of common sense, that leads to all the guys down the line, the players especially, going.
Well, but
they get frustrated.
That's
with
why
it.
They said at the beginning of the season.
It ain't going to be fair.
This season is not going to be fair for all 32 teams, and we're just going to have to deal with it. You may not like it, but you're going to have to deal with it. And there are very few teams that have come out of this unscathed this season with a schedule adjustment or a player lost and not available for a game. There are very few teams that have escaped this unscathed. I would say the Chargers are one team that I don't think has had a major loss in their lineup outside of a medical issue with Tyrod Taylor, but that actually worked in their favor with Justin Herbert coming in the lineup.
One team had five games. They didn't affect them the week of week five, but five of their subsequent games were changed because of what happened to Tennessee in week five. I think that was the Chargers,
wasn't it?
I think it was the Chargers. I don't know, but nobody's unscathed in this, and it's not going to be fair. And you can do the aftermath. You know, you can do the autopsy of this season later on and figure out who was really put at risk and what story kind of jumps out to you in your own mind. But everybody's is up against this. And I know the players are venting, and social media makes it possible for them to do that. And that's what I think the frustration stems from. For me, is I'm trying to put myself in their position, what I would have been like. Make the decision as early as you can. Let us know when and where we're playing, and try your best not to deviate from that. Don't tell us. And I think one of the things is maybe they wait so long before they can make a decision that the players get impatient. And during that time leading up to it, you're in limbo. You can't mentally engage with your preparation. You can't get emotionally invested in the game because you don't know if it's going to happen.
Right. But at the same time, I can see it from the league office perspective because they're dealing with this in real time. They're learning about new things about the virus in real time. So all you can do is make the best possible adjustments you can with the data you have available to you at that time. And since August, it's changed probably half a dozen times. Which is why people are like, oh, my gosh, the league's got another COVID protocol enhancement. Oh, they got to do this. They're changing that. Yes, because the data's changing.
Yeah.
And the infection rates are changing. So that prompts the league to have to make an adjustment and make changes.
Yeah, it's simple. It's simple. The facts change.
You're at the mercy of the virus.
The facts
virus
change.
Is running the show.
Yes.
The virus is running the show. And if you think otherwise, you're kidding yourself.
Right.
And that's why the league has had to respond, as Steve said, in a reactionary way. All right, break time for us. When we return, it is one Lorenzo Alexander for his weekly visit as he gives us the lowdown. Stay tuned for that. We're back with him in a flash here on One Bills Live, presented by Kaleida Health. It's Buffalo Bills Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.